This morning, we're going to be having a kind of interactive session, still based on the theme that we've been looking at since the beginning of this weekend from Friday. We have been looking at that theme, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. And for this interactive session, we're going to be talking about the role of women in God's plan and agenda on earth. Still discussing it about Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. And for this discussion and this interactive session, we will be having some panelists that will be answering the questions that we have. We have some questions that has been prepared that will be throwing at these members of the panel, and they will be answering us. So without wasting much time this morning, I want to quickly invite our panelists to the podium there so that we can start this discussion as soon as they are all well seated. So first and foremost, I want to ask our mommy in the house, our pastor, Pastor Mrs. to just... Let's appreciate her. Let's appreciate her. And also, I'll be welcoming my better half, Deacon Estoyin, to join. So, we are talking about the role of women, and we know we have strong women in the house. But calling our brother Mark Inde to just be in that mix now. Also, Sister Sipiwo, let's welcome her. And our beloved Deacon Matthew. Let's appreciate God in the lives of these men and women of God. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. So, like I said, it's going to be strictly question and answer, and I want to implore our panelists to make it very straight to the point, very brief, because I'm taking cognizance of time. We need to do all these questions as much as possible. I know that the Lord has prepared each and every one of you to answer these questions and to clear some of the uncertainties. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So the first question, please, can you put it on the screen? I will read it, but we still have it on the screen there. Is there a difference between the Christ in a man and in a woman? You know, we read in the scriptures that God created mankind, both male and female, and He promised the Spirit, which was actually poured out on all flesh. So, based on that premise, I want us to...
Praise the Lord. I would like to answer that. And I will say there's no difference between Christ in a man and in a woman, because we all have, God is one and Christ is one. And I will buttress this with from the book of Galatians chapter 3. Please, if you can put it on for us, Galatians 3, 26 to 28, where Paul was addressing. 26, please. Galatians 3 from 26 to 28. He said, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. In 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond or free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So we are all one. Once we receive Christ into our lives, the Bible said that the Spirit has raised Jesus Christ up from the dead. It's in us. So regardless who you are, whether a male or a female, we are one before the Lord. So there is Christ does not segregate himself. We carry Christ, the same Christ in Christ, in Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I think that question has been answered. Any, you want to say something, okay?
Yeah, just to add to what she said, you know, like this is Galatians. Many people may think that, oh, maybe it's an afterthought of God. But even right from creation story, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, I want to show something quickly. You know, like we learned yesterday that Genesis to Malachi is a book that is a promise of God. Genesis 1:26. Okay. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Look at verse 27 now. 27. So God created man in his own image. The image of God, according to Colossians 1:13, is Jesus Christ. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Now look at the next thing. He said, in the image of God, created he him. Then, male and female created he what? So there were two creations there. There was first the image of God, created he him. Then male and female exist where? In that image. So both the male and the female were both God's plan of creation in the image of God, who is Christ, according to Colossians chapter 1:13. So right from the mind of God, male and female are God's plan. No one is an afterthought that God forgot. Oh, I forgot to create this one. Let me now create this one. They are God's both plan of creation right from time.
Praise the Lord. So we all know now that man and woman in God's presence, we are all one. Praise the Lord. So I'll go to the next question. Can a woman flow in the things of the Spirit? Can a woman flow in the things of the Spirit? We have examples in the scriptures of women who actually flowed in the things of the Spirit. So,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I will say yes, and I will back it up from the book of Romans 8, verse 14. Can I have it, please? It said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. And the word son there is not a gender thing. It could be a woman or a man. So anybody can be led of the Spirit. A woman can flow in the Spirit. And we have some example in the book of Acts. We read about this woman, Priscilla. If we go to the book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 26. So we read about Priscilla and Aquila. So both of them, they were couple. So the woman there too, flowing in the thing of the Spirit, you know, having house fellowship, leading people, new converts, who are trying to figure it out. How to, you know, live a holy life. So flowing in the Spirit is not limited to men. Women too can flow in the Spirit. As long, the Bible says, as many as believe in Christ, they have what? That Spirit of God. The moment you become born again, the moment you give your life to Jesus, a woman who gives her life to Jesus can flow. It's not limited. Can flow in the Spirit. John 1 from 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own accept him not. But as many as receive him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. So any woman that give their life to Jesus and they are living a holy life can flow what? In the Spirit. And Joel chapter 2, verse 28, back it up. He said, I will pour my Spirit upon who? Upon all flesh. All flesh include, is it only men? It includes women. It includes children. It includes as many. He said, it shall come to pass. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons, and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men, they will dream. Your young men, they shall see visions. So a woman can flow in the things of the Spirit. There's no limitation to walking the work of God, to operate in the Spirit. Praise God.
Thank you. Okay, sir.
Yeah, sorry. In addition to that, praise the Lord. Yeah, just the general verse we all know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, he didn't say whether a male or a female, both male and female, whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life, would not perish. All right, paraphrasing it now. And now, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will not perish, you have life. And the same Jesus Christ who is living in you, thank God for the teaching 2 days ago, that mighty man of war who is living in you and you are not exploding, mystery of godliness, is the same Jesus that is in the man that is also in this woman. I think when Jesus Christ was about departing from the surface of the earth, he said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. It did not differentiate whether it be a man or a woman. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, as many that have accepted him as his personal Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is going to be walking through that channel, whether a male or a female. So female that also accept Jesus Christ, that are living a sincere life, a holy life, that are living according to the purpose and the will of God, are also going to thrive in this, in the thing of the Spirit. God help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I just want to ask us a little to give us maybe one or two more examples of women in the scriptures that actually flowed in the things of the Spirit.
Okay. Praise the Lord. To add to what my others have already said as well, if you look at the book of Romans chapter 16, we notice that a lot of women work with Paul. Can we go to Romans 16, please? A lot of women work with Paul, and he was acknowledging them. And one of them was Phoebe. He said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is as sent her. Verse 2, that ye receive her. Here she was commending her to another church. Let's go to verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Let's go to verse 4 also. They have laid down their lives for my neck, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also to the churches of the Gentiles. If you keep going down to verse 16, you see Paul was greeting a lot of women that have supported his ministry, that have worked with him. So we can see that a lot of women, God actually, and many of them, God raised a lot of women up because they received Christ into their lives. Look at even Jesus Christ, when he rose up, who was the first person that he came in contact with? It was a woman that is sent to his disciple. You know, disciple has been with him for a long time, but Jesus Christ decided to reveal himself first to the woman. So just to let you know that women too are very important in the ministry. There is no division. No, say God is a God of orderliness. He's not a God of confusion. He has made men and women in his own form, in his own image. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is one. He uses both men and women in the same measure. The same way, the same measure of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The same Christ that was in Jesus Christ, the same Holy Spirit that was in him, is the same Holy Spirit that is in you right now, in me right now. And he's using us as we yield ourselves to him. He uses us as we give ourselves to him. Praise the Lord.
Mr. Lord, so I think we've tackled that one. The next question, can you please put it on the screen? Did Paul forbid women from speaking in the church? And if we look at the book of Corinthians chapter 14, 34, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 34 and 35, maybe we should just read that place. It says, let your women keep silence in churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. So the question is, what is Brother Paul saying here? Is he saying women should not be speaking in the church?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't think what Paul was saying there, he wasn't trying to silence women, that women should not speak. So from the beginning when we started this program, we've said that, yesterday Deacon Matthew did a good job about how we interpret scripture. First, you look at the contents. who is speaking, who is being addressed, what was the word, situation. If you read this one, we not just do. If you go even read the whole book of that First Corinthians, you'll understand the dynamics there. Paul was addressing, why he was saying it, because of to bring order. That whatever we are doing in the house of God, there has to be what? Unity. There has to be order. If you look at the Corinthians church, they were used, there are different kind of characteristics among them. You know, speaking, anybody can speak at any time. Anybody can just raise up and at any time. And there were some kind of sort of insubordination among some women. It's not just to silent women to say, okay, this. It's just talking about what? How there should be what? Order in the house of God. That when we are what? Whatever we are doing, there has to be what? Order. If you look at it in the context of it, if you read down further to talk about, you know, like even regarding prophecy and speaking in tongue, you know, like when there are many people speaking, that somebody should do what? When there is a speaker, that somebody should be what? Silent, so that there will be what? Orderliness, so that it will give room to somebody to interpret. And it wasn't even only women. It wasn't only women that were even being addressed. If you even look down, you read it down further, you know, in that context, where in that Corinthians, you know, he even said even some priests too, to be silent. It's not only women that are being silent. So it's not saying women should not speak. A lot of people, and if you look, some people even link it to what happened in the different theology. But what is God saying to us? Some people link it to, oh, because women, they are the ones that make men to sin. So therefore, they shouldn't what? Be what? Be the one to take the lead. A lot of people interpret scripture differently. They quote Genesis 3:16 because the women did this. He said, your love will only be what? Towards your husband alone. It's not just to silent women. So we have to understand what is the situation. It's talking about what? Bringing order into what is happening in the house of God. And are we at the church in Corinth today? So where are you sitting currently? You are sitting in Bethel. And every area has their own culture. What is happening? When the pastor is speaking, do you just rise up and just speak your own thing? No. Praise God. I know some people will have something to say more about it.
Yes, okay. Sister Spiro.
So I just wanted to comment on the fact that even the scripture says, verse 35, that let them ask their husbands at home. So how many women in the church don't have husbands? Are those women allowed to stand up and say anything? So is it only specific? So it was specific to certain type of women, especially like married women. But I also wanted to point out that even people that want to use this scripture to stop women from speaking in church or being in positions of leadership, there's a role here that is given. That, I mean, like what Pastor Rose said, that it was specific that to the church and the issues that were going on in that church at that time. But here where it says that they should ask their husbands at home, meaning that their husbands will now be doing that theology work to be answering the Bible questions at home. How many of the husbands are even able to be answering such questions even when they get at home? So sometimes we focus so much on the women aspects of the scripture, but we're not even looking at what the other side of the coin is even saying. So for people that are saying, okay, maybe a woman should not talk, but are you ready at home to start talking about the Greek and the Hebrew, to be teaching your wife to be answering those questions? Just a thought that came out in this question. But like what Pastor Rose said, that he was addressing specific issues in the church, and some of those issues don't apply to us now. As we learned yesterday too, that culture is so important. We learned yesterday about eating breakfast. Serving breakfast. Yes. That if somebody serves you breakfast, some people in church think that it's actually breakfast, but is it break up, right? It's breaking up. I also learned it yesterday. So there's different cultural references that go on in time, right? So we can understand, you know, hashtag was not a cultural reference when the Bible was born, but it's a cultural reference now. So like some of these things are cultural references written to specific churches answering specific questions that were asked at that time.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, yeah, just to add on what we've said thus far, let me first start from this. You know, when we read the scripture, we see a lot of bias towards women or against women, and the truth of the matter is that was the culture of that day. The Jews lived a very heavy patriarchal society, that it was so bad that even the witness of a woman was not admissible in the law court. So one of the things Jesus Christ came to do was not just to die for our sins, was also to change that culture at that context. That was why the first person Jesus Christ used to reach the Samaritans was a woman. And for them to have listened to the Samaritan was to make the witness of that Samaritan woman to be credible. Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, he could have just appeared to his disciples. But he wanted to prove a point that, see, there's a change in God now. That it will be a woman that will go and announce my resurrection to show that a woman is also a credible witness in the society. Now, to this Corinthian church, this is a church that is the most licentious church in the Bible. And interesting about them, it's also the church that flowed in all the gift of the Spirit in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So everybody was flowing, prophesying, doing miracles, but yet they were full of so carnality. In chapter 1, they started with division of Paul and of Apollos. In chapter 2, one was even sleeping with his father's wife. That Paul said that, are you not ashamed that this thing is named amongst you, that should not be mixed among the Gentiles? So this church was full of so much issue. And, you know, it also extended to their marriage that, you know, the man and the woman are no longer, you know, no submission, no honor, nothing against the marriage. So because the woman says, oh, I can prophesy, what can you do? So Paul wanted to correct that. That was why if we read that 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 1, Paul already said that, I want all of you to prophesy. So it was not forbidding prophecy. When you go to 3 verses before that, he said, when all of you come together, each one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a song. He encouraged that everybody to do that. But when that came to the issue of marriage, because that was the context then, that's why the war woman there was not talking to single men, was talking to those in marriage. He said, you can't be doing this thing in the church, and yet you are not submissive at home. So don't speak in the church when you have issues at home. The same thing Jesus Christ said, don't come and give offering when someone has hurt you. Go back and correct that before your offering is accepted. So the same narrative Paul was also bringing to correct this issue of, you know, dishonor, disloyalty in the house of God. You can't be doing all this stuff at home, and yet you are what? You know, misbehaving at home. So fix that up before you can do this here. So it was a instruction for them within the marriage context. And if you look at it, it was only specifically written to the Corinthian church in the Bible. No other church had this instruction. The closest office was in 1 Timothy chapter 2. But even that, Timothy was also a pastor of one of the churches in Corinth. That was why that instruction was also given to Timothy. So it was specifically for them. Is it for us? It could be if you are also within that same category of the people Paul is also trying to correct. But for a single lady who has said that I don't want to get married, Paul is not talking to you.
Praise the Lord. One of the interesting things about this weekend is that God has taken us through the correct way of interpreting scriptures. So I just want us to pay attention, because people will read the scriptures and just take it like that and start applying it where it is not applicable. We've learned about looking at the context of what is being said in the scriptures. So I will just take a pause now. I just want one or two reactions from the congregation. Who have a question, very briefly. I will just pause to have that. Okay, my brother there.
In 1 Timothy 2, I want to ask, is it like wrong for women to be like pastors in the church? Because it says in, like, he made reference to it. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, it says, I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly. For God made Adam first, and afterward it made Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result. So that is so it's too wrong to have like female pastors in the church, or like female general overseer and like all those and all.
Very good. Are you looking at my script? Because you just asked my next question now. So just wait. We'll answer that question. Any other question? Because that is my next question. So we'll answer it. Any other question?
Yeah. I have a question. I like when Dickie Matthew was speaking, where he said that, you know, that verse was specifically speaking to the Corinthian church. So does it apply or no? I guess my question here is, when you go through the Bible and you read the context a couple of times, they're speaking to a specific group of people. So how then do you know that this being spoken to this group of people applies to me or no. Because I find that you could rig the context, but at the end of the day, you're not there, I'm not there. So you're speaking to a group of people. So how do you separate the word that's spoken to that group of people to say it applies to me or it does not?
Okay, that's a very good question. And now, okay.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, Pastor. Okay.
So I like what you said. You know, we said we always put context to things. The Bible is written for our admonition. And the Bible is meant to correct us. It's meant to point us to some things that we are doing wrongly. If you look at that situation, when I read the Bible, this is what I did. If you speak to me, oh, I have this thing. And I let the word of God speak to me and I change. If you look at the situation and you can find yourself in that scripture, that, you know, are you, you know, do you have something that relates to this issue? Then it's speaking to you. And it's speaking to you, what is it telling you to do? It's now up to you to do what that scripture is telling you. So even though we are saying it was to the Corinthians, there are people who that situation might still be relevant to. There are people who might not be submitting to each other. There are people who might still not be following the law. Maybe, you know, like, you know, not following the rule, not following protocol. So if you find your life in it, then it's applicable to you. Then and ask God, okay, what should I do about this thing? That's the way I will. I don't know if you are satisfied with
Sorry.
That.
Sorry, praise the Lord. I quickly want to add this. In summary, there is nothing that is happening now that has not taken place before. Yeah. Okay, so if that is the situation, the Bible is written for our edification, just like Pastor Missy said. Whatever situation that is ongoing now, we have somewhere to look up to correct ourselves, to exhort ourselves, to reprove ourselves. And that's the essence of the Bible, apart from the aspect of salvation. Thank God for the Bible exposition yesterday, talking about Genesis to Malachi being the scriptures and every other thing. My background, from where I come from, there are times, because they believe in a lot of prophecies, and simultaneously you hear about 3 or 4 people saying, thus saith the Lord. I am saying, thus saith the Lord, I want to prophesy. He says, thus saith the Lord, I want to prophesy. And one, you know, you have people you call channels, you have people you call prophets, you have people. So there are hierarchy in the church in that order. Now, a channel has said, thus saith the Lord. A prophet has said, thus saith the Lord. Maybe an assembly pastor or assembly elder has said, thus saith the Lord. Almost at the same time, then a church member has said, thus saith the Lord. They know that in that hierarchy, the area prophet or the prophet, that's the calling, so to say, has the final authority to go ahead. Every other lower vessels, that's the way they see it. That's in order we're borrowing some leaves from that Corinthians, that let there be orderliness in the church. Let the spirit of the prophet be subject to the prophet. You don't want to all start prophesying simultaneously at the same time. I'm saying, God said this, she's speaking in tongues, somebody else is trying to interpret her tongue, and the church will become chaotic at the end of the day. So, from everything that has been written, it's also happening now, and it's for us to go back into the scripture and learn and apply to what is applicable to us. God bless us in
Praise
Jesus'
the
name.
Lord. And I know that when we read scriptures, there are places that you may not jump at you, but there are places that jump at you that you know this is addressing your own situation. We are going to the next question, and that question we're going to be answering is, can a woman be a spiritual leader in the house of God? Is that the question you are trying to ask? Can a woman be a spiritual leader? Though he put it in a fancy way, that can a woman be a pastor in a church? So let's just...
Praise the Lord.
There,
yeah. Yeah, that's a wonderful question. You know, the Bible said that God is not a respecter of any person. He's not a respecter. The more you yield yourself to God, the more God uses you. So God does not say, okay, because you're a man or you're a woman or you're a man, I'm going to use only a man alone. No. He relates with us the same way. And if you look at the book of Judges chapter 4, we have the story of Deborah there. Deborah was a prophetess in the Old Testament in Israel. And she had a husband then, but God still chose her. She would sit down there under the tree. All men would come to her. She was a leader. That she was leading the Israelites at that time. and they will come to her. She will give them counsel. Even when they wanted to go to war, she was the one that prophesied, that told them how things will go. So God used female leaders. God is there. He raises up women to use them for. There's so many women in the Bible that God used. Esther is there. That's the story of Esther as well. We have this. God has used many women that he raised them up for a purpose, and God will always use them for whatever he desires to do. He has designed for them to do it. God does not, he's not a God of partiality. No, he does, he's not partial. He uses every man, every woman. Man and woman, they are the same before God because he made them men and women. And God chooses everyone that he wants to use. Also, in our present day, there are some women that God is using as well. As many people have about Catherine Kuma. Catherine Kuma was a man that was a woman that God used mightily when she was alive. She was operating in the realm of the supernatural, that she would heal the sick, and that was where Benny Hill got even his ministry came up, because he got baptized under the ministry of this woman. And you know, our impact is still here today. And so many women, even if I don't know any, many of us have read book God's General, many women that God used in those times. And these were real in the Americans. You know, it's real up to today. So God chooses people. We can use any man, woman to become bishop, general overseer. That is for God. But God still uses women. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. In order to quickly back that up, can we just go to that same Romans we read before? Romans chapter 16, verse 3, starting from verse 3. He said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. My helpers in Christ Jesus. So Paul is a leader, or was a leader. And Priscilla and Aquila, Priscilla, of course, we know she's female. Paul's helper in Christ Jesus. So as a leader. Now, go to verse 4. Verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Go to verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. The church that means that there is a church in their house. They are leaders of a church. That's who? Priscilla and Aquila. So that answers your question, that a female can also lead a church, can also be a leader, can also be a pastor. The same Paul that was talking about addressing peculiarity of every church or culture, this is prominent here. The same church that was addressing the church in Corinth, that women should do this, women should do that because of their peculiar situation, is the same Paul that is acknowledging Priscilla here, saying that my helper in the ministry, who has church in their house, as a leader, as also a pastor, leading a congregation. So women can be leaders in the church. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Yes. So I just wanted to, if we look at that verse, verse 12, I think it's something that we learned yesterday about, if everybody that has a Bible, they can open their Bible to see. Yesterday when we were learning about how to study our Bible, it's not showing on here because Dikimati talked about, like, when words are in italics, you have to remove the word. So if you have your Bible, you can open to your scripture, that 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. In my Bible, it says there's a little A asterisk there, which is referring to a reference. And if you have the reference, like, at the bottom of your Bible, mine is at the bottom of my Bible, and sometimes it's at the center of your Bible, you will see the reference to that scripture is also talking about that 1 Corinthians that we read, that 1 Corinthians chapter 4, meaning it's the same subject that is we're talking about, the same question that we answered before. Like Dikimati said, as Timothy was also a pastor of other churches, so the same instruction was given to him. So it's not that it's a different answer from the previous question that we already had about people in leadership. Like if you see their mind says, like if I look at my A and I look at the bottom of my page, the reference is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14, verse 34, and it says permit, have. So again, it goes back to the previous answer that we had, that yes, women can be in leadership. It was specific
to the problems that were going on at that time. And also in reference to what Brother Destiny had asked about, how do we know what exactly applies? Because some people can now say, okay, well, I don't know if this applies to me now or this doesn't apply. The most important thing is that the Bible says that to study, studying is labor. We know as students, I think majority of people here have been students before. Studying the Bible is labor. It's not just flipping through and just reading it. There's labor. There's words that mean things. We learned yesterday about different languages. The Bible was written in a different language and was translated to English. Translations can lose meaning. We know sometimes when you watch, I haven't watched, what's this popular movie that came out now, that the Squid Games? You know what, I think it was translating or something. You know, words can be lost in translation. You understand the language and you're hearing it, but the translator can lose the words. So the same thing can happen here. So as you're studying your Bible, you look at the references of where's the original scripture coming from. And also because this was not mentioned in other parts of the Bible, that's another way to see whether this applies to a specific topic or not. It was not mentioned in other parts of the Bible. There's no scripture reference. As we heard yesterday, that Genesis to Malachi is the scriptures, and the New Testament is revealing the things that were hidden in the Old Testament. So sometimes, too, to find out what is this meaning, you look at the reference to see, okay, is it in the Old Testament? What is it trying to reveal in the Old Testament?
Okay, one more. Yeah
just to add to quickly about Paul and Timothy. If you check 1 Corinthians 16:10, Timothy was actually one of the pastors Paul sent to the Corinthian church. So most of the instruction you see in the book of Timothy, you see there, now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, let him walk at the work of the Lord as I also do. So most of the writings you see in the book of Timothy was part of Paul's instruction for Timothy for this Corinthian church. So it's not surprising that we see the same instruction in 1 Timothy. Now, to the issue of women become spiritual leader, I think where a lot of people got that narrative, you know, was in 1 Timothy 3:12-14, where Paul said that if you be a bishop, be the husband of one wife. Now, somebody said that recently, and it became an uproar, that Paul was only talking to men to become bishops. Because he said, if you be a bishop, let him be the husband of what? One wife. And I said to the person, let's go by your logic. Timothy that Paul was writing to was never married. That means Timothy is also not qualified to be a bishop. Paul himself that wrote it was not married. That means Paul himself is disqualified. Even the chief bishop of our soul, Jesus Christ, was never married. That means, you know, they're also disqualified. I said this in context, that Paul was writing specifically to the Corinthian church because they had issues with their family, with their marriage. You know, and I said it, that somebody was sleeping with even his father's wife. Suppose you can't be a leader and your whole house is in disarray. Fix that before you can lead the people of God. So it is in that context that we take it. Is it applicable to us today? Of course. Paul said that, the Bible said that your house cannot be in disarray and you are trying to have a public show. Let your public life be an overflow of your private life.
Praise the Lord. And I think that question 4 and question 5, we've actually tackled it together, asking if a woman can also be a bishop or a pastor. And let me just quickly ask again, do we have any comment from the member of the congregation? Any further question on that?
To wrap up everything that has been said, I think the Romans 16 that we've been talking about, it would just be good to tie it together and go to verse 7. Romans 16, verse 7. And it says, greet Andronicus and Junior, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Junior was a lady. She was female, and she's called an apostle. So I think that's a lot for us to just, you know, take in and recognize for the first time that there were female apostles even in those days. For a long time, the Bible translators took Junior as a male. It was recognized as a male, but it came later that name was actually mistranslated. And it was actually a female. So I think that sort of provides the substantiation. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Any other comments, question? Okay, thank you. So the next question, and probably the last one, is it a sin when a woman does not cover her hair in the church?
Praise God. I believe that's a question a lot of women has been actually yearning to hear. It's been a lot of, you know, cause uproar even in the body of Christ about head covering. Is it a sin or is it not a sin? And thank God we're going to tackle it today by the help of the Holy Spirit. I believe this question came from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And it was specifically, Paul was actually addressing the church of the Jews at that time. Because we need to look at the culture of the land, you know, the culture of the church, of the women at that time. We all have different cultures. Even as we all sit here, everybody have different cultures, even in their homes as well. And this was really specific to this group of people. Because then, for the Jews, if you look at them, even when we watch movie, you always see them cover their head. The ladies, the way they put, you know, this, they cover their heads and everything like that. That is the way the Jews usually dress, even the women. And dress was affirming, Paul was affirming this to them. Now, let's look at just 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. In New King James, what it says, verse 2, actually. Verse 2, please. New KJV. Okay, New King James Version will be okay. Okay, say, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the tradition just as I've delivered them to you. There's a tradition that these people have, the women. You are expected to cover your head. And not only that, it is also their tradition for the women as a submission to their own husband. It's also distinguished between a married woman and a single woman. When you're married, you are expected to cover your hair as an honor, as a submission to your own husband. So that is the tradition that they keep. And from that context is where Paul was addressing the church at that time for the women. But here, are we in that church right now? No. So we are different from that from that time to now. So Paul was actually addressing the culture of that people at that time. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Just to add to what Dick Nestorian said, we are not in Corinth right now, so we are in Bethel, you are in Canada, you are in Bethel Assembly. But is this scripture applicable to you and me? Yes, it is. So basically what that scripture is talking about the covering of hair, you know, it could be for the Jews, literally is covering of hair physically. But for us, it is not a physical covering of head. It is our what? Reference. How do we reference God when we come into the place of prayer? Submission. He's talking about, I know it's a lot of argument between men and women. You know, if you look at that 1 Corinthians that was read, that verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Let's go back to read. That 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Okay. But I want you to know that the head of every man is who? And the head of a woman is who? And the head of Christ is who? So now there's an order there. The head of what? We know. The head of every man is who? Christ is the head of man. And husband is the head of a woman. And Christ is the head of, and God is the head of Christ. What it's basically talking about is submission unto authority. So who is governing over you? God is the one overseeing us. We need to be submissive to God and honor God. A wife needs to be submitted to the husband. The husband also has to be what? Submission. But when we talk about it, when you read Ephesians, people like to quote verse what? 23. But they forget that it starts from 21, where God said, submit yourself one to another. We talk about it. Don't just read Bible. Oh, you have to be submissive to me. This is what the Bible says. Go back and read it in context, in everything that we need to be what? It's doing everything in moderation, in accordance to the will of God. He said, if any woman will not cover her head, coming to the place of prayer, the solution is not talking about you just go out. Some women will say, okay, let me scrape my hair. He's not talking about that. What do we need to do so that our services will be what? Acceptable unto God. Our dressing, like the culture that was being addressed, Paul was addressing what? Their dressing. Even though we don't address dressing here, but when you come to the house of God, to be appropriate, more dressy. Do you come to church, to anywhere, and your dressing is not honoring unto God. What he's saying is that whatever we are going to put on, how it's applicable, should be honoring unto God. We should not appear before the presence of God and our bodies half naked. So we need to pay attention to how we dress. It's not saying when you don't cover your hair when you pray. It's not that. Your behavior, what you know, the way you present yourself, is it acceptable unto God? If your prayer wants to be answered. So that's what it's basically saying. Praise God.
Okay, sorry. So just to cap what Pastor Bisis had said, if it's all about covering, and if you want to look at the literal meaning of covering, and if it's applicable to men too, so that means that the only prayer God will be answering, for example, in Bethel Assembly, is that of Deacon Busuyi and that of my brother Jude. You know, those are the only prayers God is going to be answering. That means all men too, we need to shave our head, and so that all women, because if you look at the literal meaning, you are seeing that the hair is also serving as a covering. From what that scripture is saying. So if the air is also serving as covering, then a lot of people will continue to buy more wig, more of Brazilian air and things like that. And all men should start shaving their head so that our prayers can be answered and that of the women can be answered. So scripture is in perception, and perception in who? In the Holy Ghost. Being the interpreter, he will teach us all things. He will interpret the scriptures to us. So we don't interpret the scripture to suit our own selfish desires. God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah. Okay, just to also add to what we've learned, I know many of us will be surprised, why is it this Corinthian church that is all our problem? Because if you look at it, what Paul addressed in chapter 14, it started from this place for women. Because this church, like I said, is the most problematic church Paul ever faced. So Paul had to be using culture, because he has used scriptures. He said they came behind the no gifts. So he was now using their culture and tradition to teach them the basics of Christianity. Now, one of the things I want to address also is that Bible says that you are only the head of your own wife, not every woman. So a man is not the head of every woman out there. You are only the head of who? Your own wife. And that's why, because many men today cannot work under a female boss, because they feel that I'm your head. But excuse me, you're only the head of your own wife if you have one. And Paul was only addressing the marriage institution in this place. He was not talking to the single woman. So to show that it had the context of marriage. Now, in Corinth, Corinth is like Toronto. It's a Mesopotamian city that had a lot of people in that place from different culture. So one of the ways they identified married women in those cultures was the way they covered their hair. Just the same way we have today, though things are changing again, is through wedding rings. So they see that, oh, if this woman covers her hair, she's a no-go area for a single brother to go to. Though today, it's almost this, if they see wedding ring on your hand, it's like an invitation. So it was like a distinguishing factor, basically. So Paul is saying, how can you say you are preaching here, and yet you are not submissive at home? Because your covering of fear is a sign of submission. So rather, before you pray or prophesy, cover your head. When he said cover your head, they understood that he was talking about what? Submission. So we should not lose the lesson and be chasing the tradition. Paul was at the lesson there is what? Submission, honor within the Christian home. Because many at times we are chasing the nitty gritty of the culture and we left the. So if you like cover your hair from, you know, everywhere and you have hurt, you have bitterness, you have anger, you've not covered your hair. Because actually the real covering is what? Submission. Paul said the same thing in 1 Timothy. That it's not by your outward appearance, but it's by the inward man. Like let that be your beauty, basically. So the focus, like we said in our conference, is the Christ in us. That's the focus. God does not have phobia for our hair. You know, God will not see your hair and say, "Oh, I should not see this today." No. God is saying, and one of the, and one more thing, I think, is it verse 7 or 8, that said, I do this because of the angels. That word angel is the word messenger, basically. He's talking about, and it's the same word John used in Revelation chapter 2 to the angel of the church, who was referring to the pastors of those church. So Paul is saying that, see, because of your pastors in that place, because if you check some translation, they even translated it to messenger, is that show submission. Let there be order in the house of God. So Paul was not advocating that if you don't do a physical one, there will be problem between you and God. That's why Paul ended that narrative in, I think, verse 10 or 11. That says, if anybody seems to be contentious, we have no such tradition or culture in the Church of Christ. This is to teach you people how to submit to one another within the Christian home or Christian family.
Okay. Pastor, Mrs. Dan.
Praise the Lord. So just to buttress what everybody has said, you know, when we talk about, if you look at that 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it said, be ye my imitator. Who? To be the imitator of who? Who are we imitating? We are imitating Christ. And when he's talking about men not covering their hair, because God is already their covering, he's talking about it, whatever we hinder us to imitate God, to cut it off. It's not saying to cut your hair. It's not the, like the Kimbusu, okay, to just scrape everything. He's talking about any behavior, any attitude, whatsoever. Is it pride? Is it anger? Whatsoever. We hinder a man to what? Be the imitator of who? Of Christ. To have a good relationship with the wife. Just shave it off. And likewise, the women to cover. You know, whatever you need to put on to glorify God, to be the imitator of God, to be a good wife to your husband, you need an add-on. It's not the wig, that the fake wig, though. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he's talking to every. It's just submission. Anything that will make us to do what? Live a life of Christ, to be a true follower. So we should not read Bible and just add literal meaning to read. There is more to read. If you don't understand from chapter 1, from chapter 10, go back to chapter 1. You know, years on year, and I want to read Bible every year. I quit doing that. I can spend 1 year reading one chapter. Go back to read and go back to read until it makes sense to me. Sometimes am I stuck? Why am I just reading one? Go back and read it and let it make sense. God will help us in Jesus' name.
Letter kill it, but it's the spirit that gives life.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we've buttressed this point. My comment is a side comment about the topics that we have discussed today in regards to women. And because I feel that sometimes people that focus on these scriptures about, oh, women should do this, women should do this, I think it was mentioned today that they don't really focus on what men also should be doing. Because, like, how many of us here were in Sunday school and we remember, do you remember if your teacher from Sunday school, her hair was covered or not? You don't, those things you don't remember, but it's the lessons that you remember in your life. Yesterday I learned about this yellow book that apparently some people grew up reading, and that's where they saw the apple or whatever, and some of the things in that book were not even correct. So we miss the focus of the Bible and training our people because we're focused on these things that literally have no they're not relevant to the matter. Number two, also, we have women like Paul said to Timothy, hold fast to what your mother has taught you. So his mother was teaching him. We need to focus on those things that sometimes we say women cannot be leaders in church, but a woman is a leader in Sunday school department. Those children are learning from that woman, and those children, what they are learning is what they're going to take when they grow up, and it now becomes difficult as they are adults to change their mindset. So we think that, okay, maybe impact is only when a man is standing here, but impact is everywhere. And impact is not only limited to pastors of the church. For example, we do have Pastor Rose too. She's an ordained pastor in Redeem. So it's not just only saying, oh, I can only go and meet pastor because he's the pastor of the church. But Pastor Rose is also ordained in Redeem as a pastor. She's also available to meet you if you need something too. It's not about whether the person is a man or woman. The person has responded to the call of God over their life, and respect that fact that God has called this person, and this person also has to answer to God about what they are telling me, regardless of their sex.
Okay, because of our time, and I've been asking for questions, for those that are in the overflow on the basement, I just want to quickly do a check. If we have anyone in the basement, please, technical team, put them up there. If there's anyone in the basement that needs something to be clarified. Okay.
Just to continue in the flow of, can women wear pants as a woman leader or as a Christian? Can women wear pants?
Okay, I think we can just quickly deal with that, okay?
Very Praise cool. the Lord.
Okay.
If we just read the book of 1 Peter, I think he's still going to probably address that as well. 1 Peter chapter 3, 2 to 5. Because all what we're talking about, whether whether wearing pants, whether making braiding hair, everything is still about the way we look. It's still about beauty, right? So the book of 1 Peter 3, 2 to 5 says, your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as braiding hair and the wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So I believe Peter is trying to take our eyes to something that is much more important here, much significant. Because all what we're talking about, they are just outward things, what I'm putting on, what I'm wearing. He said we should dress moderately. Don't wear things that is revealing your body. Wear something that is seducing other people. No, but it should be in moderate. Wear something that God is happy about. And not only that, he said, focus more on your inner man. Because this is of great significance before God. If you focus more on the outward appearance and your inner man is not in right with God, will you make heaven? Where will you go? God looks in the inside of us. And that is where God wants us to pay more attention on, our heart. Because our hearts, that is where God connects with. That is where God speaks with. That is where the Holy Spirit can relate with. It's not our appearance. But even though your inner man, whatever is inside, reflect on the outside. So it's that far from the inside. So God wants us to pay more attention to our heart, to work on our heart, to be in right situation with the Lord, to be right with God. Praise God.
Yeah, okay. The last comment on that.
So just to add to that, I can't remember the scripture now where Paul was saying about talking about, it's not what a man eats that defile a man, but what comes out. It is not what we put on that defile us, but the behavior behind what we put on. And like the wearing of pants, I used to be one of them. I never wore pants in Nigeria. But I got to Canada, I had no choice because of the cold. So then again, we have to be, because then, when I see people that wear pants, I say, oh, they are sinners. I would be truthful to you now. I used to think like that. And I never wore pants until I got to Canada. And how could I do without wearing pants? I know there are some people that are still very strong in faith. Maybe they are made, they say, oh, I can't wear pants. Some people are here, they don't wear pants. They can make do with it. But now, look at the culture. The work I do, I remember when I started working and I will wear my skirt to work and the manager come and say, oh, Rose, you just dress fancy here. You have not considered where you work, because what happened if one youth knock you down now? And I remember, I said, yes. He said, you need to be wearing pants and all those. You need to look at the environment where you live. What is the situation? Even your work. Your workplace, too, can demand you to say, okay, you wear pants. Are you going to say, oh, because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to wear it? Every place has a culture. You know, Paul said, when I get to Roman, I behave like a Roman. When I get to, you know, it's just that. It's not that. But who is inside of you? As long as you don't compromise your faith. Wearing of pants. Do I compromise my faith? I wear pants. I'm not compromising my faith. I wear pants to get covered, to get protected, so I don't get sick. I don't have cold. So we need to use wisdom about everything and not focus on the outside. I remember somebody one time came and said, oh, Pastor Mrs., look at what this person is wearing. I said, don't condemn yet. We are not judged by what we wear. He said, oh, how do you allow them to come to church like that? I said, if I kick them out, how do they get to hear the word of God and change? We are talking about the change from what? Inside out, not from Amen. Outside in. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I want us to put our hands together for all the panelists as they go back to their seats. Let's put our hands together. I believe we have all been fed. Let's put our hands together. Let's trust God. Let's thank God for all that we've heard today. Amen. Amen. One central thing about all we've been hearing is that we should not focus on the stories and lose the lessons. Wearing pants, covering hair, all those things, they are issues that were addressed to specific culture. And just to share this as we get ready for Pastor. I was in a public transport back in the country where I married my wife, and I saw a lady that dressed like a Deeper Life. We were in the bus in early in the morning. I was saying, oh, this sister, she covered everywhere. I was thinking, oh, this must be a spirit sister. But when the conductor crossed her, the kind of cuss words that came from her mouth, that's when I knew that God was teaching me something. It's not about what you put on. It is what is in your heart. Amen.